this either is, has been, or will be a Krypton Radio production as soon as we can get the TARDIS working properly to figure out which one it is!
The Mark of the Corsair. Fantastic bloke. He had that snake as a tattoo in every regeneration. Didn't feel like himself unless he had the tattoo or herself a couple of times. Ooh, she was a bad girl.
And so are we. What are we? Oh, Mad Woman, where did you come from?
I just got back from Planet Personal Crisis.
Man,
Did you hear me walk in?
You've been missing for like forever, girl.
I know, man. You have no idea how difficult it is to get through immigration on that planet.
Oh, man,
it's
no.
Terrible.
I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't an awful husband... But where's he now?
I don't know, I thought he like went to get a soda or something.
Oh, man. And Krista's out, but I don't see her either. Man, we just cannot get two pilots to rub together to get this bucket moving.
Yeah, seriously. Well, anyway, we're in the closet. I'm the Mad Woman with the box. She's the Time Siren. And we may be down a couple of co-hosts today, but we're here. We're live. We're in your face. Well, we're mostly live. We're live to tape. And I have a box full of souvenirs from Planet Personal Crisis. We'll go through those later. But we have a good amount of stuff to talk about. I've been doing some cool stuff. Time Siren's been doing some cool stuff.
And together we've been doing lots of cool stuff.
Yes, together we've been doing epic stuff.
Yes.
Yes.
Epically epic.
Yes.
is that a word?
It is now because we used it.
Ah, okay, very good.
All right, so let's get down to brass tacks, or TARDIS tacks, as it were. Are there tacks in the TARDIS? Corsair, can you get back to us on that? Thank you.
And get a magnet. I don't want to step on those things. Yeah. So we got a few things here. What should we start with?
Well, wait a minute. I'm looking at our list of topics here, and my eyes are bugging out of my head. Would you please tell me what in the blue blazes the Doctor Who tidbit is about? Because my little heart is going pitter-pat. What's going on?
Okay. A couple of days ago, as of this recording, the British publication Mail Online did something. Doctor Who's Matt Smith set to come back from the dead to make a cameo role in the new series. Yes. Man, I wish I had tabled this fight. No, awful husband was going to bail on me. That's probably why, because he wanted to watch me perform resuscitation on you because you just fainted.
God.
Yeah. Well, according to reports, he's reportedly agreed to slip back into his tweed jackets and regrow his floppy hair for a brief return to the show this autumn, along with Clara, which means probably that Clara will be gone at some point in order for her to come back. So we are just kind of extrapolating here. He's reportedly in discussions with program boss Steve Moffat, who's giving him another chance to finally sign off as the 11th incarnation of the Doctor. Hopefully in a less confusing episode!
Yes, and hopefully with a moment that will leave us with the kind of gravitas and emotional impact that David Tennant's departure left. I mean, not to say that Matt's departure didn't, you know, have me bawling like a baby, but just one more time, please.
Yeah. Oh, you know,
you'll be
saying that for like forever, woman. I mean, come on.
I will be saying that until the 16th Doctor regenerates. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I know how it goes. Oh. Okay. So there was that awesome tastical news, and
hope springs eternal. I no longer have to live in denial because I actually will have him back for a minute. Thank you.
Hope springs insane. I mean, how many times do you think he can come back? No, don't answer that. I don't want to hear it.
Nope.
Okay, on to the next topic
here.
Yes,
fan mom.
Okay, all you cosplayers, this, you're going to want to know if you're a Disneyland freak and you like to go there on things, weird things like Bat's Day and Mutant Days where they permit things they don't normally permit or they're open for 24 hours, such as is coming up on Memorial Day.
Oh, dude.
That's due that to you. Yes. This was another thing that came out February 28th on ABC7.com or ABClocal.go.com. Disney Parks announced Friday it plans to keep Disneyland open all night for Memorial Day weekend. Guests are encouraged to dress up as their favorite Disney hero or villain. And since the Marvel Universe is now Disney... Wow.
Oh my god, I need to go and I need to go as Tony Stark and I need to do it now!
Yeah. Yeah, kind of, don't we? It's something that, is a lot of fun. It's great. They have this picture here of all the different characters and they're in the sign of a Twitter hashtag, but they don't tell you what the freaking hashtag is. Apparently, this just means watch maybe Disney's Twitter feed or the hashtag feed.
That makes sense.
But it'd be nice if they tell us what the hashtag was. So, yeah. Anyway.
I need to go to Disneyland now, and I need to do it in a Marvel costume. I could do Tony Stark, or, ooh, I could do Clint Barton. I could totally do Hawkeye. That would work. It's Marvel. It counts.
Okay.
If you say I'm going so, in costume!
Yes. Well, let's do something more recent, then, or more current. Now, here's a crazy thing. I actually found this on meetup.com, which I'm a part of. 3,000 cosplayers to break the world record in Los Angeles. This is going to happen Saturday, March 29th at 10 a.m. at the Mann Biomedical Park in Valencia, California. Well, right now they have a whole whopping total of 15 people, but Meetup is only one of the many places they are advertising this. We will have a link to their Eventbrite.com gathering webpage where you will see all the thousands of people that are going to hopefully attend this. If it looks like the numbers will be good there, Mad Woman, I think you and Awful Husband and I should schlep over there and cover this.
Yeah, but you didn't tell them what these 3,000 cosplayers are going to be doing.
No, I didn't. I will tell you that they're in anime costumes. You get to tell them what they're doing.
Okay, instead of telling them, I'm going to scar every single one of our listeners for life by making them listen to what they're going to be doing. And I don't actually know the words, so bear with me. Hey, Macarena! Yes, they're doing the Macarena!
Oh, holy freaking freak. Okay.
Yes, and yeah, don't push me. I still remember how to do it, and I will break out into the Macarena in the middle of the room.
yeah, and you know what? All we need is another 2,999 of you.
Yes, well, 2,998. You can do it with me.
There you go. There you freaking go.
Yeah. Or 2,97. We can get the Corsair in on the action.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Yeah. No, stop shaking your head. Don't you run away from me.
I don't blame him. Her. What is she, this incarnation? Anyway. So, yeah, this will be kind of cool because we know there are sufficient numbers of anime cosplayers to support this.
Yeah, but are there sufficient number of people who are willing to publicly do the Macarena?
I'm sure if you gave them a 5-minute lesson with a crayon, they would do it.
Yes, give them time and a crayon. That's the doctor's motto.
Yes. So, be there or be square. March 29th.
Or just be Sailor Moon, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, Sailor Moon, there's another subject there.
Oh, really?
People have been waiting for the new remake of this little puppy.
Oh, that's right. They're redoing Sailor Moon,
it's
aren't
been
they?
Nearly 2 years since Toy Animation announced a new Sailor Moon anime that would hit the airwaves. Fans have waited impatiently, as fans will do, for any scrap of news about the new series, and they finally got the first look at the new design of the main heroine, Sailor Moon. Now, apparently, this is not going to be, it's neither going to be a remake of the original television show nor a continuation of the series. It appears to be an adaptation of the original manga. So there was a short synopsis posted. We will have the link in the show notes. She's looking awful, awful pretty, and since I'm an absolute...
Yeah, this piece of art is gorgeous.
...nut burger for anything that has a moon in it and a powerful woman, this floats my boat. And I really wish Girl in the Fireplace was here because Sailor Moon was her gateway anime.
Yeah, and, you know, I've actually read a little bit about Sailor Moon on Tumblr. I don't follow the anime. I only ever watched, like, one episode.
Do they really have words there instead of pictures? Because all they seem to be is, like, pictures that break my internet and my browser.
Because
they're all moving and loading this stuff is, like, a stroke on my computer.
Tumblr is the home of GIFs, so yes, lots of stuff is moving. Yeah. And there are actually many words on there, many intelligent and well-thought-out words. But I've actually seen some posts about discussing not just the fact that Sailor Moon's very much kind of a girl power figure.
Yeah.
But that she's, how to put it? She's a girl power figure who is not just, you know, empowered in herself and her strength and her independence.
Yeah.
But she's also empowered physically or sexually. I don't know if we'll get in trouble for talking about that too explicitly, but that she's, you know, very female, and it doesn't take away from her as a character who is kind of the embodiment of all that is pure
yeah.
And righteous and virtuous.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that she is, you know, she enjoys being a woman and enjoys her femininity, you know, even though she's a younger girl, it doesn't take away from her status as a figure of the, that, like, that personifies purity.
Yeah.
And the, I'll have to see if the post is still anywhere in my likes. I don't know if it is or not.
Uh-huh.
But it was a wonderful little discussion about that, and it really kind of made me want to check out Sailor Moon at some point. Like, I've only ever seen, like, one episode of the TV show, and that was it.
Yeah. But, Girl in the Fireplace played me a couple of episodes. I kind of enjoyed it. You know, even though it's a bit vintage, but to see a remake would be really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the artwork is gorgeous.
Yeah.
I might have to check this out when it comes out, dude.
Yeah. Dude and dudette. So, now this is not exactly cosplay related, even though people have cosplayed Barbie. But I thought this was interesting because our local cosplay player, Krista, is very much into Barbies. Well, coming soon, apparently, a company is making a Barbie with gasp. Normal proportions.
Oh, yes. I think I've actually heard about this.
Yes, there's a Pittsburgh-based artist who is finally actually taking some action to do something about this. He's created a doll he calls Normal Barbie. And apparently the info about this went viral. It was, exciting. And he hopes a doll who has very light makeup and is dressed with a striking simplicity promotes a healthy lifestyle and realistic beauty standards. So we'll see how this goes. It could actually be, really good for young girls, and they wouldn't sit there thinking, I have to be top heavy to be beautiful. You know, she doesn't have the little hourglass waist. She just looks normal, you know, and I kind of like this.
Well, you know, I have nothing against it. I think Normal Barbie is a fantastic idea, and the image I'm seeing here on the link, it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And as a, you know, doll collector myself, I'd love to get my hands on this, but
uh-huh.
In terms of Barbie being a negative role model and a negative body type for young girls, Barbie's demographic, generally speaking, does slant towards much younger girls. And, I don't know if it was, like, an official study that was done, but there was I don't know if maybe market research or an informal study,
yeah.
Where girls between the ages, I think, of 3 and 6 were offered a choice between a normal-looking Barbie such as this or the Barbie we all know and love. And the results came back straight down the middle, 50-50 between normal Barbie and
really?
Traditional Barbie. Because with very young children, they haven't been imprinted yet with this idea of body image. And so when they're given a choice between two pretty dolls, they just pick the one that they like.
Oh.
And so it kind of goes against the argument that possibly, you know, the Barbie gives girls insecurities about their own bodies.
Well, now, that comes with the marketing and later when they get pushed with that.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. Later on, I can see where Barbie may be brought into the cultural stigma of you have to look a certain way.
Yeah.
But just presenting it as a toy for girls and you know, for very young girls as a role model, like, you know, this is everything that you want to be, they don't look at the body. They pick the doll that they like the best, and they look to Barbie more for what she stands for, which is, you know, girls
can
do anything.
Hopefully they do.
Yeah.
But you know what I like about this Barbie that's totally superior, and I always hated this as a child, and it frustrated me? This one stands on her own. There's no little high-heeled feet that made it impossible for her to stand. And I hated that as a kid, that my Barbie would not stand. I kept thinking it was broken.
That I 100% agree with, because I actually have a couple of the classic Skipper dolls from, like, I think the 60s.
Yeah.
And they have the flat feet, and you can stand them up. And I really, really like that about them.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is interesting. When it actually gets on the market, hopefully we will catch that link and bring it to you. I guess that was kind of a nifty thing there, because, people do cosplay Barbie, and it's kind of fun to do, like, a little prototype, costume on her.
Yeah, and kit bashing is a very common fanish activity, too.
Yeah.
I happen to know at least one epic kit basher. I saw her work at Gallifrey a few years ago.
Yeah.
She kit bashed the most beautiful River Song doll.
Oh, nice.
And I actually did a little kit bashing myself when I was a very, very young kid.
Cool.
Yeah, I had a duplicate of one of my Barbies, and I turned her into a magician Barbie. And I didn't even know what I was doing at the time, but I was novice kit bashing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, give creative kids 5 minutes and a crayon, and they will create their own TARDIS and fly away in it. It's getting very crowded up here with all these TARDISes.
Preach it, Sister Suffragette.
Yes. Now, there was something that we actually missed this weekend because Krista and I were out of the area. We were in Riverside. There is a local place we want to highly recommend, and it's sad that we can't find the awful husband because he's the one, he was our field correspondent for this. He actually went out and visited. It was on the recommendation of Susan Fox, our assistant general manager for Krypton Radio. She said there was a Doctor Who yard sale day at Clockwork Couture yesterday, which would have been Saturday, in Burbank. And these people, they have a really popular page. Their Facebook page is 31,597 likes. Probably more by the time you watch, you know, you see this.
And counting!
But the awful husband went there and got really excited and called me up, and he's like, we've got to come here. We have to cover this. This place is fantastic. They have all of this costume stuff. It's all steampunk. They've got all these props and stuff and a full-size TARDIS and you kind of sounded almost like a male version of you.
He was having a mad woman moment.
Yes. Now, he said in April they will have another activity day, which will be really cool. He said that this time they did actually have the Eighth Doctor's, it's kind of like a medical bag or a tool bag, toolkit.
Oh, I've seen that in the...
That sits by the Eighth Doctor's TARDIS, the TARDIS console,
I've seen that at Gallifrey.
When that travels to Gallifrey, yeah. So they apparently know those people because the people with that restored that console are in North Hollywood. So I'm sure they all communicated. But Dennis was very excited about this. I practically forced him at the point of my pocket change to get him a shirt. He found a shirt that he liked that was very steampunky. And there's lots of cool stuff there. He said goggles and pith helmets and vests. Oh my! And
nice.
We are actually, he brought this up to me and I'm kind of glad he did. He's been reading a lot about how to blog a book and everything he learned from GLAWS, the Greater Los Angeles Writers Society. And he wants to start cosplaying his characters, which I think is a great idea because that costume is going to be steampunk Victorian, but the character from my story that is the consort of the one I want to do, the male, her husband, is he also wears an outfit that's kind of a cross between an English pallbearer, and it's kind of got elements of steampunky stuff. So I'm going to be practicing making him vests. One of them is going to have clockwork gears on it. It'll be for his characters in his story. I'm going to make him one with dragonflies, and that will be for his character in my stories. So it's going to be kind of an interchangeable
costume.
So
you guys are, like, going to cosplay your own characters with each other? That's so great!
Heck yeah! Well, you know, I don't know if I can really get into this, but you've got to know that the family, the husband and wife that cosplays together has a lot of fun in the bedroom. Let's just put it that way.
How true that is.
But this is going to be something for conventions. And I do actually have my harp. I finally got it.
Yes, you showed it to me today. It's freaking gorgeous, people.
Yes.
And I don't know if the microphone will be able to pick it up, but it sounds so pretty, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It strums real
it
pretty.
It does. Actually, it's so funny. Our station manager, who's an accomplished musician, he tuned it for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, and it sounds so nice. I just pet the strings. I pet them.
Yeah, and I learned how to tune it, and it's cool. I used to play piano when I was a kid, about 5 or 6 years of it. My mother sold the piano. I was heartbroken, but I was really intensely super shy, painfully shy. I would not play in front of people, even my teacher. So she decided to go ahead and sell the piano. But once you learn a string instrument, apparently you carry that. It's like riding a bicycle. Once you ride one, you could probably ride another one. Because I picked this thing up at the California Strawberry Festival. There was a full-size harp that this noted harpist Lisa Lynn brought. She brought like 6 of them and was giving a half-hour class. And I was on one of them, and she was teaching Farajaka. Very simple. Anybody can pick it up. And while the other people were struggling with, okay, where's C? Okay, da, da, da. By the time they'd done that, I'd played the tune.
You know, I've actually experienced that a little bit because I tried to take up guitar when I was younger and I had a lot of trouble with, like, forming the chords and what have you. And I guess there's, like, a running joke in the music industry that people who can't play guitar usually turn to bass, and that's what I did. So actually, technically, I know how to play bass. I can play the notes. I can identify them on the fretboard and what have you.
Yeah.
I can even tune my bass using octaves. As long as I can tune one string, I can tune the rest of it by ear. You know, octave harmonics or something like that is what it's called. And I don't play well because I never freaking practice, but I do retain that skill. You know, I can manipulate the frets. I can finger pick with the bass, and I prefer it to traditional pick. But
This is going to be with my costume. It's going to have the black sclera lenses. I still have to make the outfit, and of course, learn. Kind of relearn how to play it. But that's my ambition. It's not really a cosplay because it's more of a reflection of my character. It's kind of an aspect of this character. So I'm kind of calling it an aspectation. It's a word I just get bashed. So look for updates on that. And I might actually, if I get better with the harp, I'll put some stuff up on YouTube as to my progress in making it.
There you go.
So.
And actually, speaking of Clockwork Couture and a place where you can shop for costume bits and stuff, believe it or not, during my downtime on Planet Personal Lit Problems, I've been doing a little cosplay work of my own.
Oh.
I have a new burgeoning obsession with a TV show called Teen Wolf. Anybody who hasn't seen it, go check it out. It's amazing. Yes, it's an MTV show with a lot of pretty actors that, you know, you just kind of want to mush together like Barbie dolls. But, yes, pretty actors. And the writing is amazing. Plus, a lot of these people on the show, you just want to fling awards at them. Case in point, Dylan O'Brien. He plays a character on the show called Stiles Stilinski. He's my favorite character. He's like the token human guy.
Yeah.
And this guy has been rocking it recently. He's got a crucial story arc right now where he's been possessed by a demon or something. And the acting is just every single time I watch him, I want him to get an Oscar for a TV show.
Awesome.
It will never happen, but it's amazing.
I wonder how long it's going to take people to cosplay this show. Or if it's already happened.
It happens all the time. There's blogs on Tumblr for Teen Wolf cosplay. And the thing is that there are people who sit down and they inspect the episodes and they identify the things that the characters are wearing. You know, their costumes.
Yeah.
And as luck would have it, a lot of characters on the show, some of them dress more high-end, but others actually wear stuff from Target.
Oh.
So you can go out and buy the hoodie that you saw Styles wearing, or the shirt that you saw Scott McCall, the main character, wearing, or the messenger bag that, you know, Lydia Martin was wearing in the episode.
Oh, nice.
And I've been doing that recently. I've been buying a lot of Styles wardrobe because of, blogs that I've seen that identify the pieces, and then not only identify them, but tell you where you can buy them.
Oh, nice.
The one I want to pimp, it's called teenwolfoutfitshop.tumblr.com.
Okay.
And they regularly reblog pieces they've identified from the show or that other people have identified.
Oh, good.
And where you can find them. I've bought, I think, 3 different hoodies recently.
Yeah.
From them. One of the t-shirts. And I've been...
Very cool.
Yeah, I've been going after a couple of the jackets that the girls on the show are wearing. I am planning to put together an actual Teen Wolf cosplay, maybe wear it at Gallifrey or something, just for giggles.
Cool.
But some of the wardrobe that I've had my eye on, I actually may put towards the Corsair cosplay that I've been thinking about doing.
Uh-oh.
I want to do a female Corsair, like a really badass looking one. So, like, you know, I kind of want to do it's like space mercenary type thing. And there is actually a jacket from Teen Wolf that I've been chasing down. It's a very short faux leather jacket, women's leather jacket. I want to wear that with maybe, like, you know, a black wife beater and some tight black pants.
Oh, boy.
And, I'll have the Corsair's tattoo on me somewhere. And then we can hand out ribbons for the Corsair's closet.
Oh, absolutely. Next year, definitely.
Yeah, because I want to be the Corsair as the bad girl.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely.
But, I call it store-bought cosplay, and it's easier to do than making something, you know, if you don't
And spending
have...
lots and lots of money.
Yeah, well, mainly time, like, because for me, you know, the problem I've had with my last few cosplays is I haven't had a lot of time, but lately, I've put together nearly every single piece I need to do at least one or two Styles Stilinski costumes. I'm actually thinking about doing a Rule 63 Styles Stilinski, in other words, a gender-bent version.
Ah.
So I can do female Styles or... you know, what have you. And it's a lot of fun. And it's fun, too, to have, like, my favorite character's hoodie, and I wear it all day. And I,
yeah.
It's like carrying a piece of the show with you, so.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So if you're a Teen Wolf fan, check that out, teenwolfoutfitshop.tumblr.com.
Yeah.
We'll put a link in the show notes. And
cool.
If there's any show like that that you watch on TV, that where the costumes maybe are something you can actually go out and buy or find a lookalike of, this blog does do lookalikes as well as actual items. You know, it's a fun thing to do, just to hunt down your favorite pieces or put together a costume that you don't have to invest as much time in, but you can still put together a fantastic cosplay that will blow people away.
The point is to do something.
Yeah, exactly.
And to get better and to have fun, you know, the big thing about it being fun.
Yeah, shopping can also be a creative endeavor, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So we have a segment, actually, while you were on Planet Personal Crisis, we had a costumer over, her name is Miko. She is the lady that is currently helping with Krista's latest cosplay, which is version 2.0 of Loki's costume.
Ooh!
So, we're going to cut right now, and we're going to listen to that.
Ooh, gimme!
Hi, this is Time Siren, off navigating on my own with a Corsair. NASA Nerd is at work, Madwoman is still off on Planet Personal Crisis, and we have a special treat for you this particular episode. We have Miko, Luck in Spades, a master costumer who lives in the San Fernando Valley area, or just slightly outside of it, and she is here along with our oftentimes a guest, Krista. They're working on their next project, and we are here to talk about that.
Hello, this is Miko. How you doing?
We're doing fantastic.
And I'm Krista, and I am going to be doing another incarnation of Lady Loki.
Ooh, boy, I bet when your Facebook fans hear about this, they're going to be drooling.
Well, I don't know. Well, I don't have as much confidence in my ability to pull that off as you have in me, so...
You know... I am sure with Lady Miko here, you are going to rock the house and bring it down and bring in even more followers. Loki's going to get jealous.
I have a feeling, yeah, that this is going to be a good one.
Yeah, this is awesome. So we want to know, inquiring minds want to know here, how did you two hook up together?
Well, I was actually at the Thor 2 premiere in Hollywood, and I ran into a cosplayer who does Loki. He's known as Loki Hates You. And he had an awesome costume. And I really could see the workmanship right there. And I was like, oh my God, you know. And then like 2 days later, he posted that he wanted to thank his really awesome costumer. And I said, oh my God, you know, this is just what the doctor ordered. Because my poor costumer, Morgan, who I love more than life itself, is like completely burned out. And she's... got 7,000 other projects going at the same time, and I just was like, I gotta find somebody.
Yeah, she's kind of ready to drop dead there, so we needed to give her a break.
Gotta give her a break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you saw the connection to Miko's Facebook page and immediately jumped over there.
Immediately jumped. I mean,
and
like,
went, hi, do you need some more work?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Just immediately, like, I didn't even hesitate. Yeah. I was like, oh!
So, Miko, what did you think of this crazy Loki wannabe femversion lady contacting you, and what... How did it go from there?
It sounds like just another fun project to work on. I was really excited taking a design and adding a little flair to it. It is fun to replicate something, you know, down to every last stitch, but it's that much more fun to take something and put my own little spin on it and have people still recognize it and someone make it their own. It's really rewarding to be able to put my own little spin on things.
Yeah. Do you find you get more of an opportunity to do that with the femme versions of the costumes as opposed to the males?
I have not done many crossover commissions. It's either the exact thing or that's it. I've only done really replicas as commissions. I've done femme versions myself. And in my experience, it hasn't worked as well for me, but I feel like I also have the curse of liking to pick very obscure characters. If I want to do anything gender swap or make a version evil looking, I have an evil power girl. So it's literally the same outfit, same silhouette, but instead of wearing white, I put on a black leotard, and instead of blue boots and gloves, I have red boots and gloves. So suddenly I'm now the evil version.
That's
only one
cool.
person. Yeah. Only one person person was like, are you supposed to be Power Girl? I'm like, yeah, I'm evil Power Girl. Oh, cool, I totally get it. Everyone else is like, what are you?
Yeah.
It's nice when you have somebody out there that'll actually recognize it. And I know Power Girl is a favorite
of Krista's.
One of
my favorites.
Krista's, yeah.
It's such a titillating costume.
Yeah. I
wonder if the femme versions are too used to doing their own because, I don't know, are you familiar with the LiveJournal cosplay group there? They have livejournal.com. Cosplay crowd, and I see a lot of the femme gals on there, you know, hunting down specific parts for their costumes, and they'll take something that will may have been, you know, an exact replica of whatever. It might have been Sylvester McCoy's sweater. It might have been the Sixth Doctor's garish patchwork coat, and then they take it and they modify it, and they end up, you know, tricking it out and doing it for their own costume. But you might start a trend here, and you might suddenly start to get more business for all the femme versions of these different costumes.
Well, that's kind of what happened to Morgan. I mean, she did my horns, and then I had the picture with Tom in the horns, and then the next thing you know, she was getting commissions left, right, and center. But she was still busy working on me because of Lady Thor,
yeah,
which came right after that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is that with Lady Loki, we have so much leeway because we're not doing an exact copy of Tom Hiddleston's costume.
Mm-hmm.
It will be inspired by that design.
Okay, so let's talk about which costume is this that you are starting with and diverging?
Basically, the Avengers costume is the starting point. And I said, mm-hmm, that jacket with the long tabs is just so hot. And I love it. But it's got to be modified to work with my curves.
Yeah.
And I don't want something that looks exactly like the movie. That's not going to work for me anyway. I'm too curvy for that.
Right.
So I needed somebody who can modify that and go in a different direction with it. And so
just judging
that's
from
the starting point.
This person's, you saw the workmanship in that costume and said, oh, yeah, she can handle this.
Yeah. What I got to say, all right, what really convinced me more than anything else was when I saw her pictures. And I, as soon as I saw her pictures, uh-huh, and I was like, aha.
Okay, what pictures of what are we talking here?
Well, she had pictures of her own costumes.
Which
on,
were?
On her page.
Oh, God, I've done so many costumes over the years. I think I tried counting between commissions and my own. I'm approaching the 70 mark.
Wow.
Of,
so what's the most awesome things you've done?
My personal favorite that flexed my skill the most, I thought, was my second version of making the Angel of Death costume from Hellboy 2, The Golden Army.
Ooh.
He's played by Doug Jones, who I love to a billion little pieces. He gives the best hugs. If you ever see Dougie at a convention, get a hug. Your life is forever changed.
Nice.
You know, this just keeps getting weirder and weirder.
Well, I hope
what?
So, considering we're in space and time here. Why not?
It does, because you see, the thing is, you gotta understand, Morgan and Miko could be long-lost sisters. I mean, physically, they look like they could be sisters, physically. They are, like, the same height. They are, like, the same build. They are into a lot of the same stuff. They have, like, the same level of skill. And on top of everything else, who is she madly in love with? Abe Sapien.
Okay. So this is...
And the whole Hellboy thing.
So
she also has a big
basically,
heart
it's the same gene pool that are being these mistresses of costumes.
I am pulling from the same gene pool.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
There you go. Well, I don't know if you noticed my wallpaper here. It says Law of Attraction. You don't attract what you want. You attract what you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are all on the same wavelength and brain pattern here. So what else have you done that... That's you could
to go back to that one though, especially because it's I feel like it's been one of my biggest achievements is I learned to stilt walk for the costume, so I'd be over 7 feet tall. I made wings that were over 7 feet wide, and the mask limits my vision to almost pinholes.
Oh,
so
boy.
I learned to stilt walk with a wide berth of wings, climbing up steps to get on stage for Comic-Con, I think it was 2011 or 12.
This was LostCon you were at, too, because I remember, right? You were at LostCon?
I was at LostCon. I was wearing a different stilt costume.
Yeah, and when I told the story to my husband, he's like, oh my God, I remember there were two stilt walkers there, and we thought it was so weird, such a coincidence. I didn't even know you yet, and we had already eyeballed each other, or at least I had, since you couldn't see out of the costume.
That one I could see out of, thankfully.
Oh my god, you have to send me that picture. We will put it in the show notes.
Oh my god.
That's Morgan.
Wow.
And I love wearing my hair the exact same color, no less.
Okay, yeah. I'm doing pictures side by side here. This is going to be so creepy yet fun and fantastic.
That's what I'm saying. What are the odds that I can find two customers on opposite coasts?
Yeah. So you were a stilt walker. Awesome.
Yes.
So what have you... So we were mentioning off the air here that you had never done a Doctor Who costume.
I have not, but I know so many Whovians.
Yeah, or Whovians as I call them. So what other genres have you worked in? Star Wars, Star Trek, Stargate?
For the most part, when I got into costuming, I was into anime. I was an anime kid. Oh, dear. And,
all are at heart.
I'm not as much anymore. I like
give us time and Liz a crayon, and she will do it to you.
Dude up there, though.
Oh, which one are you looking at? Oh,
Death Note, right?
Oh, yes, that's Death Note.
And I have a little thing for Cloud Strife costume because of a friend of mine.
So what anime?
But it was video games. Was first and foremost. It was video games. The Final Fantasy series. And that is when I wanted to make my first cosplay. I didn't even know it was a hobby. I wanted to make the Sorceress.
It's not, dear. It's an obsession.
Well, yes.
It turns into one anyway.
I wanted to be the Sorceress Edia from Final Fantasy VIII. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to make this for Halloween. That's so cool. And then I ran into a friend that I'd known for a few years already. She's like, oh, what you're doing is called cosplay. I'm like, shut up. There's a whole, hobby about this. And she showed me pictures. I'm like, why am I not doing this? I thought this was just dress up. It's so cool.
Well, it is, but the awesome thing is now you're getting paid for it.
Yeah, well, a little. It's mostly still making stuff for myself. Right. I'm a little greedy about that.
So we're just basically fueling your obsession to make more costumes.
Just a lot.
Yeah. So, oh, yes, I recognize this big, white, fluffy, flouncy dress with gorgeous cape hanging off of your arms, and you are really, really tall.
Can you
please send me that picture later? Again, show notes, must have.
Yes, it is my Halloween costume from 2013. I wanted to be an owl because I am terribly obsessed with owls. They are
another
super
weird
awesome.
Parallel.
Yes. Noting that owls are totems
knows
of somebody
that
here.
I can speak to them.
One of half of my spirit animal pair is an owl. The other one's a white stag. And
wow.
So now I have them all over my car to protect it. No accidents since.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice and fantastic. Yeah, there are so many anime cosplayers. I take it you've probably been to Anime Expo.
Actually, not in the full context of what I did used to want to go to. I really wanted to go to Anime Expo when I lived in Northern California. Mm-hmm. The biggest convention around there is Fanime, and I would go to that one
FanimeCon
regularly.
Yeah, we had
and
a couple
had
of those.
And I had a friend who went to Anime Expo who's like, oh my god, it's like Fanime only bigger, and I'm like, oh my god, I need to go. And then finally when I moved
down here, you do.
I was not into anime anywhere near as much, so I did go and visit and look around a little, but the enthusiasm I had for anime had pretty much died down a lot since then. So
yeah, Anime Expo actually has a distinction of hitting the 100,000 attendee mark faster than San Diego Comic-Con. And with San Diego Comic-Con, it was a big old celebration when they hit the 100,000, but Anime Expo hit it in maybe a third of the time.
Yeah, anime has been growing so extensively thanks to Cartoon Network and,
yes,
I mean, frankly, dubbing, even though it's not the purest favorite, it has certainly helped bring it to the mainstream attention. I mean, I do remember going to Borders Books, because that was the closest one, and going to the manga section, which, was, four, shelves thick? Not even whole columns, but just four shelves, and that's when they still had some of the naughty ones there, because they didn't know so many kids were going to be looking at them. I'm like, oh, dance till tomorrow. I love dancing.
Yeah.
Open it up. Oh, dear God, what is this?
Yeah, this is basically what you're missing here, and I'm running through some pictures. They're like this, oh, this is actually the LAX Marriott.
I was going to say, yeah, that's ALA, isn't it?
Yeah, this probably is. Well, then why in the world
are you one night, and yes, I'm like, oh my god, I'm a little bit glad I'm not into anime as much anymore. The anime kids are kind of creeping me out a little bit.
You know, they have so much fun, and they're so nice.
I was them. I was definitely them, going, oh my god, kawaii desu glomp!
Yeah. The thing that amazes me is the sheer numbers of the people that are there.
Absolutely.
Good Lord. I mean, all of these people are from Naruto, and there's like 150 people in the picture.
Oh, God, I know.
Okay, so I gotta ask you, what was your gateway anime, and what was the first anime costume you did?
Ooh, that is a question of trickery, isn't it? probably Sailor Moon, you know? Sailor Moon was one of the first things they started showing, you know, during the day on the air in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was the coolest damn thing in the whole wide world. Sailor Moon was the best. I actually wanted to make that for Halloween back when I was in middle school, which makes that around 1999, 98.
Uh-huh.
And didn't know really how to sew then. This was even before the Edea costume. I knew how sort of could start executing it, but, I mean, overall, it was like, it clearly never happened. But, yeah, it was from Sailor Moon to Pokemon, and then my friend started introducing me to Inuyasha and Trigun.
Ah.
So Trigun, I'm pretty sure can be safely said, was my first official anime cosplay.
Trigun was our, Inuyasha was our gateway. In fact, they just announced on Toonami, which is the late night block on Cartoon Network, that the last episode, Vash.
My Vash you to the Stampede.
Yes, we probably have seen you in the hallways, but.
I only wore this at Fanime, and I stopped wearing that around 2004.
We probably saw you then, because we did attend a couple of Fanimes,
cool.
Yeah, sadly, Toonami had their last Inuyasha episode about a week or two ago.
Aww.
But, you know, there's so much else out there, and our minds kind of exploded with it. So, though, a girl in the fireplace, who's our co-host now, who lives in Wales, she will be happy to hear the Sailor Moon reference.
Oh, my God.
Because that was her gateway, and there was an adorable cosplayer at Gallifrey that did Sailor TARDIS. And it was so cute. But, yeah, this one I love, and I think I have a better picture than that. There we go. Yeah, pretty scary stuff. This guy had to give a birth in the hallways because he literally has the biggest meat cleaver on his back on the planet.
Oh, my God.
But this guy really kind of blew us away. So, okay, so you look like you, or you sound like you come with major props, and I'm seeing some beautiful pictures here. You must send me the contents of your phone I can put these all up.
It's definitely one of my favorites. It's, when I wore Vash the Stampede to Fanime, it was, of course, you know, really popular anime then, because it was, again, one of the first dub ones that they were showing on Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
I'm 5'1", though. So you have a 5'1" Vash the Stampede running around next to a gentleman who is closer to 6'1 or 6'2", and we happen to be side by side for a photo, because, you know, people are like, oh my god, two Vash the Stampedes, let's get a photo of this. And then, from the back of the crowd, someone yelled, oh my god, it's Chibi Vash!
Oh!
And from that point on, I was Chibi Vash, even though my costume was so accurate. Every last button on that costume, all 48 of them were completely functional for no good reason.
No.
And then this 6'2" Vash literally hoists me over his shoulder, and this is the picture I'm showing right
that
now.
That is adorable. It absolutely is adorable. So, you actually, Let me ask you what you do in your real life. Does it bear any resemblance to your obsession for costumes?
It has definitely turned into that, yes. A few months out of the year, I do get to sew at Universal Studios Theme Park for the special events Halloween Horror Nights and Grinchmas.
Oh, I love Grinchmas.
So I work on that sewing team when I
behave.
Another parallel, yep.
Yes, creepy as it is.
I've made a few Grinch costumes in my time, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that is the exact
fur. What are the freaking odds?
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know how we compare. I already showed you the album with Krista doing the Grinch there.
It's quite impressive. You guys definitely knocked it out of the park, and I've made that thing almost from scratch.
yeah.
at the park. So yeah,
we kind of thought we were doing, you know, we had it down when people kept saying, oh my God, it's Jim Carrey, when they saw her sneaking around with her bag.
Yeah, I mean, that was a group effort. I mean, I did the sculpt on the appliance and everything, but, you know, we wouldn't have pulled it off without Darce, who was the roommate she mentioned, had a lot of connections and stuff. But yeah, it was great that you... When you told me you actually made that.
And when we got like, makeup advice from a student of Dick Smith's, I think. You know, I love Cinema Secrets and I have to plug them because we didn't know what the hell to do about the makeup at first. And I went over there and I was asking him, and this one salesperson, you know, he's like, you know, I don't know what Rick used on that. Let me call somebody. So he calls up and he goes, hi, Richard. Yeah, this is so-and-so. And he's like, you know, what did Rick use on The Grinch? And later I found out Richard was Dick Smith. I went, oh my freaking God. And then when we went to the Pasadena Makeup Convention, and that was the year Baker was there. NTF was there with the fur. The leftover run from The Grinch. Come on, this had to be fate. And then the people that sculpted the teeth, weren't they... Was that one of the ones that...
Well, we actually found somebody at...
Or was it the contacts? It was the contacts.
The people
that did the contacts
did
hers. They couldn't make them exact because of copyright, but... You know, for a costume...
They couldn't do full scleras.
Yeah.
They had to modify them. I can't do full scleras.
I tell you, nothing changes a person like the teeth and the eyes.
Yeah,
for absolutely. my next cosplay, I'm getting full black scleras because I saw how they transform
so
her.
Oh, my God. I want full black scleras so bad, but I do not have $400 flying out my ass right now, unfortunately.
$179 for each lens. I found a site.
Ooh.
It's only a little bit less than $400, but it's still less than $400. Yeah, they're, believe me, must have. But when you see a person transform with those things, you know, it's no wonder that they're practically selling these things in 7-Eleven now.
I confess, half of my reason for getting laser eye surgery back in January was so I can wear cosplay lenses.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie, there's a very, very big selling point that I'm like, maybe if I stop wearing my contacts, I can wear fun ones.
because otherwise, I have astigmatism, but I don't have a prescription. So I didn't have to worry about, like, the difference in the eye prescription.
That's the problem with those.
Astigmatism, though, makes them very expensive.
Yes. Years ago, you couldn't even get contact lenses that corrected it.
Right.
Now, they will correct for it, thank God. Oh, hello, white eyes looking at me.
I just pulled up a picture of my Storm cosplay, which brings back to the whole trying to get a little too creative with costumes.
Yeah.
I'm not African-American or African, as Storm actually is, so I wanted to see if I can add a little je ne sais quoi to the costume.
Damn.
And I took the, oh goodness, now I'm blanking on this artist's name. This
gorgeous.
J something. Oh, I feel so horrible. I'm blanking. The artist did a wonderful version of African Goddess Storm,
mm-hmm.
and the costume is like a black leotard with like a big black cape thing connected to her arms.
Uh-huh.
So I took that and I changed the color scheme. I made the corset part holographic. I got given this wonderful holographic fabric over $80 a yard, insane, as a gift.
Wow.
And then instead of a black cape, I made
I
know, right? An iridescent blue.
You know me.
And I'm like, what if I paint myself silver? Like, she has all of the power in her that it's changed what she looks like. So it's silver body paint, and then I've got the white out contact lenses.
Without
wearing contacts, my own personal prescription contacts, just the white ones, it was like looking through fog, really dense San Francisco fog. And then everything was blurry because I didn't have my prescription.
Yeah, I know I'm going to have to deal with that with the scleras.
I'm afraid
I'm going to be looking through pinholes with the scleras. I don't even know. I don't even want to know what's going to happen with that. But you know what? I'm going to wear them anyway. And I'm going to have that carp. And I am going to channel Goddess of Death. And it's going to be amazing. So what do you, Samika, what do you think is going to be the biggest challenge in doing Krista's latest project?
Containing the awesome.
All two of them, huh?
Thank you for, and I didn't even tell you this is a family show. Of course, I'm sure we're talking about the boobage.
No, I know. I meant just how awesome the whole damn thing's going to be as a whole picture, because I honestly was not even talking about that. I mean, just everything between her banging out the curves and the girls, but, and, you know, my handiwork, it's going to be, you know, I think the gods are going to be a little bit jealous, you know?
I'm like, hoping.
Where's my tailor like this?
And I think also, because, see, in the movie, Loki has the helmet, part of the Avengers, part of the time, he's got the helmet on.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to be wearing my horns with this.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
Because I really probably think no doubt. It's going to work.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing. So yeah. I think, yeah.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. At this point, is there anything else that you guys want to talk about off the top of your head? Miko, do you have contact information for our listeners? Because they're going to see your pictures, and they are going to want, and they're going to just knock your doors down with all of their requests.
That is very promising. I do like to hear that. My website is www.luckinspades.com, and I can be contacted through there. You can also see a lot of the work I've done for myself and for commission, and in the industry, including some of my work on Grinchmas and Halloween Horror Nights. As well as I did some work for RuPaul's Drag University when that was on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of crazy work there. And really all I ask about doing commission work is being able to meet up for fittings. It gets the best look out of my work and it fits you the best. Yeah. So unfortunately that may put some people off that do live far away, but I think the end result is a lot better when we can work that harmony together.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, definitely. And
I think the next time I'm going to be in L.A. is probably going to be for Stan Lee's Kamikaze Con. And actually, RuPaul, I just saw, was on the list of guests, so...
Ru is great. When I got to work on his show there, he would start laughing and would make me start laughing. And I have quite a boisterous laugh myself. He'd hear me laughing at him laughing, and we were stuck in a crazy time loop for 5 minutes solid.
It's
like it was my favorite experience.
So I believe that it's going to be RuPaul and Elvira.
Oh gosh,
in the
right?
same room. That's pretty awesome.
Oh boy,
that's a lot of awesome.
Well, the world doesn't end from that. You may actually, you know, see your costume come to fruition.
Oh.
I'm hoping to be doing Lady Loki, and maybe even her Lady Loki by that point.
Yeah.
We'll see how it
fantastic.
Goes.
Well, Miko, thank you so much for being with us, and we want to hear future updates so we can pimp your stuff more and more and get you out of your day job so you can live your dream, because that's what Corsair's Closet is about. We're a closet full of fun and doing what you love and making it just that thing that expands in your life until it blows up your bank account with tons of money. So thank you for coming out.
Thank you for
Krista for finding her.
Yeah.
This is Time Siren, and we will catch you later. So there you go. That was our interview with Miko.
Okay, I kind of am in love with her and want to take her home and put her in my pocket and feed her cookies and name her George.
She's cute. She's little and she packs a punch. She's wonderful.
She's just amazing. And if I ever have $1 million, I want her to make me all the costumes ever, because clearly, girl got skills, okay?
Yeah, it's great. She does this for a living. She does this for fun. Do what you love and the money will come, you know? There you go.
Yeah, totally amazing. Miko, we love you!
Yay! Yes, fantastical.
Oh, God.
So, we are out of time. We have to go look through the closet for NASA Nerd, Fireplace Girl, and Krista, in time to get her back on the plane Tuesday morning to New York.
Yeah, you know what probably happened? When I came in out of customs from Planet Personal Crisis, they may have gotten sucked in, so we may have to go back there, and hopefully they didn't get caught in customs the way I did, because let me tell you, those officials with their rubber gloves are not pleasant individuals.
Ow!
Yeah.
Okay, don't go there.
And they didn't even stick it anywhere dirty!
Okay, edit. Shame on you. Smack your hands.
No, well, they have this whole thing with, you know, cerebral smuggling and up the nose. It's just not fun.
Ow. Okay, I will edit that for pain, because the image makes me feel pain.
Well, it was even a bit worse having to go through it. Yeah. Anyway, I am the Mad Woman with a Box.
I am the Time Siren falling asleep because I had 4 hours last night because Krista is too interesting.
You poor thing. Oh, Corsair, you need to tuck in the time siren and read her a bedtime story and give her a cup of
tea. I had too many stories yesterday about Thorky porn. I don't need any more.
Oh, God, Thunderfrost? Oh, geez.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Bad thing. Let's just say it really needs to go into an after dark Horror's Closet, which we keep threatening to do, but that would be a triple X.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Okay, we're gonna... This will be stored away for an After Dark episode. Okay, Corsair, just get her the chamomile tea and tuck her into bed. Read her a nice, bland bedtime story.
I won't stay awake long enough.
No, Goldilocks and the Three Time Lords. You'll love it. Time Siren? Time Siren? We'll see you next time, folks.
Fifth Doctor...
Yes, that's right. Fifth Doctor... Corsair! Come on, let's get her to bed.